بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So for the past numerous lessons we've been looking at the topic of al-qada wal-qadar, and al-Tahawi rahimahullah, he at this point in his treatise he discusses it in some detail, and the passage that we are going to look at next, inshallah ta'ala, again another lengthy passage. This is still on the topic of Al-Qadr. To stick still on the topic of Al-Qadr. So, what I'll do first and foremost is quickly summarize some of the main issues that we've been looking at in the previous lessons regarding Al-Qadr. And maybe we have 10 or so points, inshallah ta'ala, just as a quick reminder of some of the issues that we should be familiar with now. First of all, from those issues that we discussed, is that when we speak of Al-Qadr, when we speak of the word Al-Qadr in the Arabic language, then the word Al-Qadr is such that it implies four things. There are four things with it. And those four things are, that I'll mention them first and foremost, Al-Ilm, knowledge, Fi'l, which is action, and Mashi'ah, which is will, and hikmah, which is wisdom. Right, so remember, we are speaking here of the linguistic meaning of the word. We're not speaking about the sharia meaning of the word. When we use the word qadr, and when we say someone made taqdeer, that he made taqdeer of something, which means to determine something. And the example that's sometimes given to give the linguistic meaning is like when you have a tailor who is going to make some clothing, so he makes an estimation, he determines how much of the cloth he needs, he works out the measurements and everything else, and so he's making taqdeer, he's making a determination. So when we look at the word qadr linguistically, then the word qadr actually carries all of these four meanings with it. It's part and parcel of the meaning, that there must be knowledge, then there must be action involved, then there must be a will, person must have a will, a mashi'ah, and likewise there must be a wisdom. There's some wisdom, hikmah, behind what this person is doing of this taqdeer. Right? This is the word from a linguistic point of view, al-qadr. When we look at it from a sharia point of view, this is now the second point. The first point was the linguistic meaning of al-qadr. The second point now is when we look at it from a sharia point of view, then as you know, in the Quran and the Sunnah, Al-Qadr has four levels, right? So belief in Al-Qadr as required by the Sharia and by the evidences in the Sharia, then we know it with four levels. That it means Allah's prior knowledge of everything, of His creation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writing this knowledge, ordering the pen to write this down in the Lawhul Mahfuz. Everything that will happen till Yawmul Qiyamah. And so this is the second level, the Kitabah, the writing. Then the third level is that we believe in Allah's all-encompassing will, His Mashi'ah, that nothing escapes His will. Nothing occurs except that He has willed it. And no one can act outside of His will. And fourthly, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the creator of all things. He creates everything and He creates the action of everything as well. And this is Al-Khalq. So we have Al-Ilm, Al-Kitabah, Al-Mashi'ah and Al-Khalq. So when we speak of Al-Qadr in the Sharia, as in what is the Sharia meaning of Al-Qadr and how are we required to believe in Al-Qadr, then it requires all of these four levels. We then looked at the issue of the difference between the word Al-Qada and Al-Qadr, because we see these two terms used together, Al-Qada wal-Qadr. What is the difference, or what is the similarity? In summary, the most correct answer, because the scholars do differ on how they explain this, the most correct answer is that when we use the word Al-Qadr, Al-Qadr is referring to all four levels of Al-Qadr. Al-Ilm, Allah's knowledge, the writing, the Mashi'ah, and Allah, the Khalq, the creation. Right? This is Al-Qadr. It includes all of these four things, and it includes the prior knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the writing down of that knowledge. But when we speak of Al-Qadha, then this refers only to the last two levels. That Allah wills a thing and brings it into existence at the point and at the time that it was due to come into existence. So in other words, if we were to explain this with an example, if we were to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed 50,000 years before the creation of the creation that all of us here would be meeting together for the purpose of this lesson and for this circle on such and such a date, at such and such a time, right? Then as it relates to this being in the ilm of Allah and this being written down in the Lawhul Mahfuz, this is Qadr. This is Qadr. Qadr is Allah's determination of all things, Allah's knowledge of all things and the writing down of all things. This now is, this element here is Qadr. Now, right now, as we are all present here and we are present at the appointed time that Allah decreed 50,000 years before the creation of the creation, Allah willed it to be and brought it into existence. This here now is Al-Qadha, the actual occurrence and the outcome, right, of the decree actually taking place, right? And this actually now represents the second two levels of Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, which is Allah's will, Allah willed that we, you know, come together for this occasion, and Allah's khalq, right? And so how this occurs is obviously that Allah created us, He gave us a will, He gave us a choice, He gave us qudra, and through that will and choice and qudra, we all made the decision to be present here today. So Allah, this is Allah creating our actions. Allah brought this situation to be at this appointed time, as it was written in the book, and as it was in His knowledge. So this here now is Al-Qadha, which is the second two levels of Al-Qadr. And Al-Qadr, when we say Al-Qadr, it means all four levels together. Right? So that was the third issue that we should be aware of. Now, the first of those who began to deny Al-Qadr, or challenge Al-Qadr, they started with denying Allah's prior knowledge of things. They claimed Allah does not know things before they occur. And there were many reasons why this occurred. But once they found a false reason to start speaking with this claim, as some of the people did in Iraq in the time of Abdullah bin Umar, as you know, the first hadith in Sahih Muslim mentions this incident, then these people, they began to deny that Allah has prior knowledge of events, And then they began to go to the Quran and find evidences in the Quran to justify their false belief. So from those types of verses in the Quran that they found were examples in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'll give you one example, when Allah changed the Qibla from Jerusalem to Makkah. And then in the ayah Allah says that we did not change the Qibla from what it used to be. And then He explains the reason. Illa لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولِ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَكِبَيْهِ. So He says, except that we may know, that we may come to know who is following the messenger and who is going to flee on his heels. So they use verses like this where it appears that Allah is doing something in order to know something. And then they began to use these as evidence to show that Allah does not know something until after it occurs. And this is false, because the meaning of these verses, is that it is not that Allah will come to know something He did not know. Rather, it means that Allah will bring out in the open that which He already knew, such that the ilm of Allah, the knowledge of Allah that He already knew, as to who will obey Him and who will not, who will disobey Him, that this now will come out in the open and it will be known, it will be manifest. And so the ilm of Allah, which he already knew who was going to turn to the right Qibla and the one who's going to remain on the old Qibla, it just means that Allah, this knowledge, he will bring that out in the open. So anyway, the point being is that they began to use verses like this in order to justify their false belief, to claim that Allah does not know events before they occur. So those who believe this belief, then this is a belief of kufr. It is disbelief to reject the level of ilm, to deny that Allah has prior knowledge of events. Then after that, point number five, we mentioned what were some of the reasons why these people were misguided. What were the reasons for their misguidance? We gave three or four reasons. The first of them is that they began to make analogies for the actions of Allah. They said, they looked at the creation, they looked at men, and they saw the actions of men, and whenever they saw that this man's action is just and this man's action is unjust, and this man should have done such and such, and this man should have done such and such. When they looked at the creation and they looked at the actions of men, they thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his actions must be likewise. They must also be in the same way. That whatever we see to be just in this life, then likewise that must also be just as it relates to Allah's actions. And then this is one of the reasons. The second reason that we said, they did make a distinction between the irada kawniya and the irada shar'iyya. Allah wills things to happen, but it does not mean that he likes them. Allah wills that a person disbelieves or commits shirk or commits disobedience. Does Allah like that? No, he doesn't like that. Right? So this means that Allah's will is of types. He brings things into existence by way of his will, but it doesn't mean that he actually likes and loves and is pleased with what he brings into existence. So we believe in Allah has an irada kawniya. Irada kawniya. This is the same as when we say mashi'ah, Allah's will and Allah's wish that relates to what he wants to come into the creation. And then Allah has irada shar'iyya, which is what Allah wants from his servants. He's pleased with that it should come from his servants, like tawheed and iman and following the sunnah and following the messenger and being obedient and so on and so forth. Allah wants that this should happen. Will it happen? It might not happen. It might happen. Depends on whether Allah wills it to come to being. So anyway, the point being here that we distinguish between these two types of will. And so these people who went astray, they did not distinguish between these two types of will. The third thing is, the reason that led them to falling into mistakes is that they began to use their intellect reasons to, or they claim that the reason can know everything which is good and everything which is bad. That which is hasan, that which is good, and that which is qabih, that which is repugnant and not acceptable. And then they began to use that same reason and say, well, this for the actions of Allah is good, and this for the actions of Allah is not good. Right? They began to apply that judgment to the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this again is incorrect. And the fourth reason is that they began to question. They began to ask, why has Allah done this? And why has Allah done that? They began to ask the question, why? The question, why? Lima. Why? And so, when they began to ask questions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and why he does this and why he does that, why does he punish some people, why are there calamities, why are there hardships, why is there pain, why is there suffering, why is this and why, began to ask these questions, it then led them to deny that Allah has wisdom in his actions, that he does things for a purpose and for a wisdom and for a far-reaching objective. Right? So these are four reasons that led them to fall into mistakes with respect to Al-Qadr. That was point number five. Point number six, we mentioned the sects who deviated in Al-Qadha wal-Qadr. We said on the one hand, there are those who denied Al-Qadr. There are those who denied Al-Qadr. So we said that there are those who denied Al-Qadr. There are those who denied Al-Qadr, and they are the Qadariyya. And they are in two groups. The first group are those who are the extreme and who denied Allah's knowledge, Allah's prior knowledge of events, And they are the extreme of the Qadariyah, and they were declared, they are considered to be disbelievers if they deny the prior knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there are the mainstream Qadariyah, the main body of the Qadariyah, who are the Mu'tazila, and they denied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He wills and creates the actions of the servants. Right? They said, a man, he has free reign and free choice. He brings his own actions into existence. And the reason why they did this is they wanted to free Allah of committing evil. They wanted to free Allah of committing evil. So when someone murders, for example, or commits shirk, for example, or he does any type of evil deed, they said Allah is free of evil. And Allah cannot really be responsible for creating these actions. Rather, this is outside of Allah's wish and Allah's creation. A man, he creates his own actions. And when they did this and when they said this, they simply followed the way of people who came previously. For example, the fire worshippers, the Magians. Because this is exactly the same reasoning that led them to believe in a God of good and a God of evil. This is what the Magians and the fire worshippers, this is what they used to say. And that's why the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he likened them to